Hi, this is Otto from the Pig Roast with Otto and George. You're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic. A-cock!
Hello, my name is facebook.com/clubsodakenny, and you're listening to Game Stuff. It's none other than the great Coke Logic.
Ahoy hoy, and welcome to Super Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. This episode, I have the Super Game Stuff True School Hip Hop video game review and an interview with the former Apple CEO, Steve Jobs. But first, let's start off talking about some games. Boom. Gears of War 3 has kicked off the horde of new releases, and the next wave is already on its way. Rage is the new IP from the legendary developer id Software. If you're unfamiliar, they're responsible for the Doom series, the Quake series, and the way we play first-person shooters as we know it. Although I'm a little concerned with how much footage I've seen of an enemy running directly at you as you shoot directly forward. Buy it or rent it, just as long as you play it, this massive game could be very promising. Rage is due out October 4th. Dark Souls is the unofficial sequel to Demon's Souls that came out on the PlayStation 3, but this time Dark Souls is coming out on both PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. The game is not for everyone. It's known for being brutally and almost unfairly hard. I'm looking forward to it, but I think I need to rent it just to see if it's too damn hard. There's a level of difficulty in a game where a game becomes not fun anymore and just frustrating, and Dark Souls is looking to surpass that. Almost every article on Dark Souls starts with "prepare to die a lot." That's messed up. Dark Souls looks great, so mayhaps I need to cowboy up and take a beating. Dark Souls comes out October 4th. And finally, Spider-Man: The Edge of Time comes out October 4th. You see a pattern here? The follow-up to Spider-Man: Shattered Dimensions. Shattered Dimensions was a solid game, so Edge of Time should be pretty good as well. The story is streamlined down to two Spider-Man instead of four from last game, playing as Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2099. Like I said, Spider-Man Edge of Time coming out October 4th. L.A. Noire is finally coming to the PC November 8th. If you haven't played this contender for Game of the Year, now's your chance. Being one of my favorite games of the year, I highly recommend it. Speaking of possible games of the year, Portal 2 DLC will be released in late August. Portal 2 DLC will be released in mid-September. Portal 2 DLC will be released October 4th. Oh, good, finally. Now what about Half-Life 3? Deus Ex Human Revolution is getting DLC this October, with a mission titled Missing Link. A mission that takes place later in the game, but I can't go on any further because it's spoiler territory. Hit the boom. Since the warm reception of Crysis 2 to the home consoles, the original Crysis is coming to XBLA and PSN on October 4th for $20. This is a great time to point and laugh at the PC fanboys that spent $500 on a video card just to get 12 frames per second. Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil Code Veronica HD remakes are out for XBLA and PSN. If you've never played Resident Evil 4, this must be your first console. X-Men Destiny is out for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and it's a hunk of shit. Don't buy it. And now it's time for some MMORPG talk. DC Universe is going free-to-play in October. If you've been playing DC Universe, congratulations. You picked another struggling MMORPG to invest money and time into. But for the rest of us, there are three levels of this new structure. The first being free-to-play, but with minimal inventory to store items and limited game options. The second option is, if you spend at least $5 at any time, you're upgraded to a premium access, which means more content, more storage, more options. And finally, there's what players have been playing all along, $15 a month or legendary status, which gives you full access to the game as you would originally be playing it. It seems like the best option is to play for free, and if you're really getting into it, pay at least $5 to bump yourself up to premium status. Free until you put a little bit of money in, as it should be. All MMORPGs should have this kind of structure. Free-to-play will go into effect both on PC and PS3 in October. Speaking of MMORPGs, Star Wars The Old Republic finally has a release date of December 20th, until it's delayed again. But I'm pretty sure they're going to hit December 20th. Maybe. We'll see. Much disgrace, forgiven us please. Square Enix CEO Eiichi Wada has recently said, quote, "The Final Fantasy brand has been greatly damaged," in reference to how utterly abysmal Final Fantasy XIV has been since it's been released. Wada said they will also be, quote, "fully redoing the game." I'm sure that'll go well. Just patch the shit out of it until it's playable, I'm guessing. Final Fantasy XIV is indefinitely delayed for the PlayStation 3 until Square Enix is, quote, confident that the game has reached a level of enjoyability and service benefiting the Final Fantasy name. Fantastic. Did I mention DC Universe is going free-to-play, and Star Wars Old Republic is coming out December 20th? You could probably give everyone their own airship and fat chocobo, and it won't make a shit lick of difference. Also diluting the Final Fantasy brand is the 13 series. Final Fantasy 13 2 is coming to PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 on January 31st of 2012, the sequel to Final Fantasy 13. And there's also Final Fantasy Versus 13, which is entirely different than Final Fantasy 13 and Final Fantasy 13 2, which has not been shown off in a while, but has not been canceled either. The industry calls this vaporware. And they dilute the brand further with the recent announcement of the HD remake of Final Fantasy X for the PlayStation 3 and PS Vita, a game that's only 9 years old and no one is asking for. Yet Square Enix still refuses to remake Final Fantasy VII. But I'm sure we'll all be eating a good helping of shit when the HD remake of Final Fantasy VII is released on the PlayStation 4, because they've been working on this all along. At least one would think so. Alright, let's get into some Nintendo Wii news. Okay, and what about the Nintendo 3DS? Okay, never mind. Next up, we have my interview with former CEO of Apple, Steve Jobs. Hi. This is Coke Logic from Super Game Stuff, that show you were just listening to. And I'd like to take a moment of my time to talk to you about Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Recently, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff studio was robbed. All of their recording equipment has been stolen. Their laptop, their microphones, their speakers, perhaps even some action figures. But the point is, what they need you to do... Sorry, what they want you to do. No, they need this. What they need you to do is go to Big Kev's Geek Stuff and find the donate button that's on the front page. Any and all donations will be welcome. Even $5 would be fantastic. Of course, it probably would be better if it was more than $5. I mean, this is recording equipment here, folks. Good intentions does not buy equipment. But on a serious note, please go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and give what you can, and all that you can, but not more than you can. But the point is, donate to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Thank you. Hi, this is Coke Logic with Super Game Stuff, and we are with Steve Jobs of Apple Computers, recently stepped down as CEO from Apple. And the visionary of the iPod, iTouch, and iPhone. Steve, welcome to Super Game Stuff. Oh, sorry. Hold on, let me turn on your mic there.
Thank you.
So, Steve, the iPod, the iPhone, iTouch have been wild successes. And this fall, we have the iPhone 5. What can you tell us about that? Interesting. I wouldn't even think that. So what can we expect from the phone as far as new features go? So just swipe of the finger and cool. You know, Nintendo has been talking about a Nintendo Wii U system, and it looks strikingly like an iPad connected to a Wii. What are your thoughts on that? Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Mario Angry Birds game. I know that's not, you know, it's Angry Birds is not your thing. It's another company, but, you know, I'm just saying, crossover. Well, where do you see the future of Apple going now that you've stepped down? Well, thank you for your time. This has been a fantastic interview. This has been Steve Jobs here on Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic. Thank you so much, Steve. You're welcome. And now a word from our sponsors.
Hello, it's Club Soda Kenny, and while I never listen to Big Kev's geek stuff, I always listen to Special Delivery. Sam and Dave, every Saturday night at 9 p.m. on XM 105 and Sirius 206.
This is a new segment on Super Game Stuff. This is called True School Hip Hop Video Game Review. This is where I have my friend DJ Bloodshot lay down some True School Hip Hop beats while I go over and just talk about some games. Games that I've recently played, and people kind of ask me on Twitter when I actually announce, like, oh, hey, I'm into Deus Ex Human Revolution. They're like, what's that like? And I'm like, rent it. It's awesome. And really, that is a great game. I actually bought the game day one, didn't need to rent it at all, just because I knew that I was going to buy it. The first game in the series, the original Deus Ex, I've played maybe 8 to 10 times from start to completion on the PC and on PlayStation 2. You know, just obsessed about it, just because in the Deus Ex world, they give you multiple ways to finish an objective. You can go in guns blazing, you can go in through stealth, you can be a master hacker where you try to get through a door by hacking a computer terminal, but also on the other side of the room there might be an air vent that you have to pick a lock. To combine the hacking skills and the lock picking skills in this last game, which I'm not a fan of, I wish they would have actually kept it more of just two different skills, just because yes, it makes it easier for the player, but, you know, I like to specialize in a certain thing, because it's role-playing, that's what you want to do. But I highly recommend Deus Ex Human Revolution. There is a little bit of a learning curve, because it really throws you into the game, expecting you to have had played at least one of the two previous games, which this is a prequel to those two games, but that doesn't fucking matter. You get all the story as you play it. You won't find yourself lost. In fact, even you don't have to have played the first two games to enjoy this third game, which would be the first game in the series. Just because of the way they set it up, it is a self-contained story, and I could totally see them doing a Deus Ex next prequel. But like I said, it's a little weird with the RPG elements. You get these things called praxis points, and all you have to worry about is that's just a little stat when you get enough experience, just like any game, Call of Duty, Final Fantasy. When you get enough experience, you get to put a node into something. Do I want to jump higher? Do I want to be turn invisible with a cloaking device, you know? Do I want to hack computers better? And that's all that is. But it's a little confusing on the first playthrough, if you haven't played them before. Besides that, completely accessible. And there really is no wrong way to play the game. You can try to go stealth for the full length of a mission. And it's a long game, too. It's about 20-so hours from start to finish. I was very happy with the length of the game. But you can go along stealth, and you can be just walking past guys and jumping and rolling like behind corners and shit like that. But then a guard will spot you, and, you know, shit's up. Time to pull out some guns. And then, you know, it becomes this great mixture of you have a plan going into something, but that plan didn't work out, so you gotta change up your game plan. It's very dynamic that way. If I had to give it a score, which I have no scoring system in place, and I don't work for a company, so I don't have anyone to answer to, so I could actually just pick scores out of the air and not have to justify my score to anyone. That's pretty cool. I'd give this a 9 out of 10, just because the production values on the character models when you're talking to other people is pretty fucked up. It looks terrible. Sometimes you'll just start hearing the dialogue, the audio, just start rolling before the lips are even moving. I mean, it is rough. You really have to like this game to put up with the scenes. And since this is kind of a story-driven game, kind of important. Next would be Gears of War 3. What can I say about Gears of War 3 that you haven't already learned in Gears of War 1 and 2 without going into story? Not much, except for it's tweaked to the max. Just everything feels fucking awesome. The speed, the reloading, the guns, the everything, swift, quickness, everything's been sped up where it doesn't feel like you're a trudging soldier now. It feels like the best version of a Gears of War game. And for that, it would be the best Gears of War game, in my opinion. If I was to score that, I would probably score it 9 out of 10. Just for the simple fact, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more environments in Gears of War 3. You know, this is going to be the last Gears game in a while, since it's the end of the trilogy, which actually does feel like a trilogy. The storyline, when you follow it from Gears of War 1 through 3, actually does make sense. Highly recommend Gears. I wouldn't even say rent it, I'd say buy it. And finally, in this test of a segment that I have no idea whether it's going to go over well or not, me just rambling, let's talk about Dead Island. I just rented that through Redbox, my first experience with Redbox. I popped it in, and I lost track of time. I ended up playing 5 hours straight the first night of the rental. It's not a great game, and I'm not just saying that because there's been a lot of complaints about the glitches, and the version that shipped on Steam was the beta version of the game. Someone fucked up and didn't put the final game on there or something. I didn't have any problems. I didn't get stuck in the geometry. I didn't respawn in a different location. I didn't lose all my inventory. I had a very good playing experience. I was playing on the Xbox 360, and that is the system that is confirmed to have been patched, so maybe that would help. But it's a lot of fetch quests, is what it is. You play as a person that you get to pick from four characters. I took the black dude that is good with blunt objects, just because I figured there's going to be a lot of ashing of skulls in this game, and that's what you need in a zombie game. But it's a lot of fetch quests. We have to get the generator running. Go over to the other side of the island and press some buttons. Or, I'd like to burn these corpses. I need gasoline. Go to that truck on the other side of the island. And even though it's big, I'm probably exaggerating here, I didn't feel like I was going so far across it. Like, it wasn't like trying to go from one side of the map to the other in GTA San Andreas, where it takes literally 30 minutes. Everything was relatively close, but just far enough away where you felt threatened from zombies that'll come out of nowhere. And this is a game that you must play with the audio turned up, because it doesn't work. It doesn't have the same effect if you're playing a game and listening to the radio. I know a lot of people do that. Play a game while they're listening to Opie and Anthony on Sirius XM satellite radio. I don't know. I'm not dropping names. I'm just saying. The first time you'll notice the zombies around is you'll just hear this, and it's like, they did a really great job on the sound design for the zombie voices, because it really is. You're looking at, like, a pristine beach or whatever, you know, some fucking shit thrown around a little just because it's like, oh, zombies running amok. But you're looking at this very picturesque kind of open space, but then you're hearing this very ominous voice, this grunt, coming from nowhere. And then you turn a corner and, oh, he's right on top of you. And, you know, it's a really good experience. What I would give that game is a 7 out of 10, just because it doesn't have enough mission variety from what I've seen so far. Everything feels like a fetch quest. And you gotta knock a point off just because so many people are having issues on the PC and PlayStation 3 with the game glitching and crashing on them, which is never good. Alright, thanks for DJ Bloodshot for the hip-hop beats for this new segment. Hopefully this came out pretty good. You can find Bloodshot on Twitter under Rebel Music. That's R-E-B-L-M-U-S-I-C. Rebel without the second E. You don't fucking need it. Okay, that is it for this episode of Super Game Stuff, starring Coke Logic. Did I just say starring? I'm turning into Sam and Dave all of a sudden here. I think this was a pretty good episode, very informative. I'd like to thank our guest, Steve Jobs. And no show wrap-up, because wrap-ups are gay. This is Coke Logic signing off for Super Game Stuff.